We thank you for an answer to prayer that pulled up in front of the church this morning. When we take up the offering, we ask you to help us to know what to do with the funds that come in. And Lord, you let us know what to do with the funds that come in. Hopefully, most of us in this room have never had too many dire needs where we had no money or were facing extreme hardship. But that lady did. And Lord, that's a terrible feeling, I'm sure. And Lord, I just thank you that we were able to meet a need for her. You know right where she's at. And we thank you for sending her to our door this morning, Lord. And I just ask you to speak through me. I thank you for the things that you've spoken to me. And we're just going to trust you and love you. Amen. Sam had a baseball game this morning, and Joey had to take him to his baseball game, which Sam decided to play baseball after not playing since he was six, and he's not getting a whole lot of chance to play. He's not okay when he does play, and he's just a character, man, I'll tell you. Last Sunday, we went to practice last Sunday afternoon, and they spent the first 45 minutes tossing, and then they spent 25 minutes out on the field walking base to base, and the coach was getting on them about how they run the bases and this and that. And you got to know Sammy's a pretty straight shooter pretty much, and the coach says, you guys all, are you listening? You know, you get what I'm saying. He goes, you all want to play varsity baseball, don't you? And Sam says, I don't. And he says, well, everybody but Sam. And it's like, that might not have been the best thing to say, Sam. That might not get you a whole lot of playing time after that. But anyway, so I have on my maroon and blue this morning, which are his colors. So I'm supporting him from here this morning. I'm going to say that I'm going to talk to you about enduring love, Mom, if that's what you want to know. Enduring love. Enduring love is kind of part of it. That's just what I'm going to tell you it's called. You know, the dictionary says the word endure means to remain in existence and to last. That's what it says. And I looked up endure in the Strong's, and it's from a Hebrew word that was A-M-A-D, and it looked like it was pronounced Ahmad or Ahmad, and it means to stand, abide, confirm, continue, dwell, and remain. Psalm 118, verse 1 to 8 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and he set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Now that phrase, "his mercy endureth forever," is in the Bible 41 times. It was just, what, 5 or 6 times right there? But it's mentioned 41 times. So what's God trying to tell us there in those 41 times when he says that? Well, using the meanings of the words mercy and endureth from Strong's, what he's saying is, my love, favor, goodness, kindness for you will stand, abide, confirm, continue, dwell, and remain forever. What an incredible promise. Now, when God makes a promise to us, it's not like the promises we sometimes make. When He makes a promise to us, there's nothing in the world that's more sure than that. Matthew 24:35, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." There you go. What He says, it's not going anywhere. God has promised His enduring love to us. So really, that's a given. That's been given and it can't be taken from us. The question then becomes, what aids us in enduring in God's unfailing, enduring love? So I heard a researcher on the radio, and they were talking about memories. And I am 52, and my memory is not as good as it once was. I don't know how old you are. I won't ask you. Yeah. Oh, I feel you. I'm just saying. That's right. I've enjoyed hearing your adventure. God's with you. So I heard this researcher yesterday, and they were talking about memory. And they said that they tend to find that memories tend to follow your thoughts. And I thought that seemed to make some sense. You know, the things which I think about the most stay present and fresh in my mind. Now, this is valuable to us in regards to our relationship with God and with the people in our life. Do I think often of what God has done for me and the people He has blessed my life through? Probably not as much as we should. You know, it always amazed me to hear people be able to tell of all of the good and wonderful, amazing things God's done in their life for years and years and years and years. Because sometimes I get reminded of things that God's done, and it's like, why haven't I thought about that in a long time, you know? Do I see His enduring love for me in this very moment? Do current circumstances cloud my vision and try to erase the memory of God's goodness from my life? They shouldn't. Sometimes our memories fail us, like we were just talking about. And sometimes it's due to something that we can't help. Dementia and Alzheimer's are cruel diseases. So, if it's all right with you, I want to share a testimony that I heard and some lessons that I heard that were learned by a guy. About a month ago, I heard this testimony, and it really stuck with me, and I want to share it with you, okay? And the man's name was Robertson McQuilkin, which is a mouthful. Okay, so Robertson, he met Muriel. And Muriel was this beautiful, vivacious girl who plenty of the boys noticed and wanted to get to know. Well, he said he was blessed enough to get to know her, and I guess she wanted to get to know him too. He said she was vivacious and full of laughter. She was talented in the arts and music. And he said she was an exuberant lover of God. Now, Robertson said his parents did not believe in expressing affection in public. That was not their way. So his mother ridiculed Muriel for her mushy ways towards Robertson, forever hugging and saying she loved him in front of the family. So he said the first thing that Muriel taught him about love was that it should be expressed passionately and frequently. Now, God loves us passionately, and he's forever trying to show us. If you read the Song of Solomon, that's 8 chapters of passionate love expressed for 8 chapters. And it's really talking about us and God. If you will passionately and frequently express your love for God, and I'm going to say, and for your spouse, in word and deed, your life will begin to change. It will get better. I have no doubt of that. I'm sure they won't mind that I say this, but I'm glad, and I know everyone's different, I am glad that I grew up in a house where I saw my parents hug and kiss. And I did. And I doubt that my mom saw that at her house. I know my dad didn't, because his dad was dead. But do you know that caused me to want to have the same kind of love in my life? And I also saw them love God unapologetically. And I believe that did the same thing. Now, we all take our own path to get to that point of wanting to love God like that. But I believe those seeds were planted. What is the great commandment? Matthew 22, 36 to 40 says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy God as thyself." Oh, I'm sorry. "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments will hang all the law and the prophets." Now, Robertson, he said that Muriel seemed to live for him and not at all for herself. He said the second thing that she taught him about love was that to be genuine, love must be acted out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not just on Valentine's Day, anniversaries, and birthdays, but it's every day. He said, with all her creative ideas, she seemed to live to help him bring his goals to fruition. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, like Robertson said, most of us are never going to be asked to lay down our life for our spouse in one heroic moment. Now, occasionally you hear about those kind of things, but most of us are never going to have to experience that. But are we willing to lay down our lives a little at a time in incremental ways? How about for our Savior? Love is proven by the sacrifice that it makes. Love should be expressed and demonstrated. So the third thing that he said Muriel taught him was that love partners. So Robertson became the president of Columbia International University. That was his job. He was a Christian school, I believe. And he said she became the first lady on campus. She hosted parties, had guests to the house. She counseled students. She taught women's classes. And she was there for the married students on campus who pretty much everybody tend to ignore because, it's, you know, for people who I thought, well, you're married, they don't need anyone's help. Well, they did, especially if they were newly married. And she saw that need and she did something about it. He said she hosted a radio show every day. She created a segment for a children's TV program. He said she used her brains and energy to make his work at the university successful. And he said she taught him to do the same for her dreams. And that's a real partnership right there. I know the people in this room, so I know that you know that having a trusted partner as you fulfill God's purposes is invaluable. He said the fourth thing that Muriel taught him about love was that love is a companionship also. And he said no matter how busy his schedule got, he made time for her. He said his secretary came to him crying one day, and he said, what's wrong? And she said, I've never known you to lie to me. And he said, did I lie to you? And she said, yes. You were invited to speak in Spain, and you told him you had somewhere you had to be. Yeah. And he said, I'm going to Italy, and I'm taking Muriel, and after we get done in Italy, we're going on a trip together. He said, that's more important to me than any other thing I have scheduled. He said, so I'm not lying. I have something that I have to do that's more important than that. And, you know, no matter how busy and hectic life gets, you got to make time for the people that you love. The dictionary definition of the word companion is one of a pair of things intended to complement each other. To be able to complement each other, it takes being there, being present, day in and day out. And you know what? You can only be complementary to God's purposes if you're there and you're present as he calls on you. Now, Robertson said when Muriel was about 55 years old, they were in Florida on vacation with some friends. And he said she told a story. It was kind of long, about 5 minutes long story. And she got done and she started to tell the same story again. He said, "You just told us that, you know." And she laughed and told her story anyway. He said she was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's at 55. He said she lost her ability to cook and to host parties and have guests at the house, so they had to start catering events, which is no big deal, but that was something she liked to do. Her artistic abilities failed her. Her radio show was canceled. At the end of that, of those things starting to happen to her, you know what she wanted? She wanted to be with her husband. Her partner and companion. Well, he had a very demanding job. Not that he didn't love her and he didn't make time for her, but he had a very demanding job. So the school loved him so much and wanted to keep him there that they hired a living companion to hang out with her during the day so he could continue to work. And he said, she called the companion her jailer and said their house was a half a mile from school where his office was, and said she escaped from the jailer one day and made 10 round trips to his office to see him. And every time she came into the office, someone was visiting with him because he was the president of a school, so I'm sure he was a busy man. But she made 10 round trips to the school. She walked 10 miles to see him that day. And he said when he got home that night and he took her shoes off, her feet were bloody from 10 miles of walking. And he said he went to his physical and he told his doctor about it, and his doctor said, "What love." He said, "Content when she's with you and totally uncontent when she's away from you." So Robertson decided to retire and take care of Muriel for himself. He said 40 years earlier he had promised to love until death do us part. You know, I've done quite a few weddings, and there's parts of wedding ceremonies where you just have to, after you've been married for a while, you think to yourself, "You don't really know what this is all about yet." I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying you got to live it to know it. And no one's road is as smooth as glass. Let's just put it that way. So he said she had cared for him for all of those years. And he said now he was going to get a chance to take care of her. She had laid down her life for him. Now it was his turn. He said the next thing that she had taught him was that love is enduring. And when I heard that, that just stuck in my head when I heard his testimony on the radio. You know, enduring love will fuel 10 miles worth of round trips with bloody feet just to be with you. You know, if we all want to take a minute and look at our lives, we can see evidence of enduring love in our lives, especially if you have a wife or a husband that loves you. Commitment is the bond that holds. You know, enduring love will make the trip from it'll make the trip to Golgotha, beaten, bloody, and bruised, to lay his life down for you, It'll make that happen. So Robertson said he loved taking care of Muriel. He said he had to learn to cook, because if it didn't taste good, she wouldn't eat it. And I think he loved the chance to give back to her in the way that she had given to him. Now, you know, God had used him greatly in his job at the university. And apparently, like a newer student or something came and sat with him in his garden and talked to him one day and asked him if he missed being president of the university. And he said, "No, I don't." And then he said he started to think about his life a little bit and what had kind of happened and how, you know, wonderfully God had used him in his job. And then now he had had to step away from the job and was taking care of Muriel. And he said he thought, if a coach puts a player on the bench, it's obvious he doesn't need him in the game. So he said he was praying and he said, "God, sometime if you want to tell me why I'm not in the game, I'd appreciate it." By the way, as I was thinking about him, he was still in the game. The game had just changed. But I understand his question. So he took Muriel for a walk. She was still walking at this time. And he said he had to help her stay balanced, so he was holding her hand. And he said they were walking down the street. And he said it was a kind of a narrow sidewalk. He said it was a really steep grade on one side and a really busy street on the other side. He said never when they walked there had anyone ever came and needed to pass them, because it wasn't really going to be able to happen because he couldn't let go of her hand and there was nowhere to go around, kind of. So he said they were taking a walk down the street and along from behind, here comes a drunk. Staggering, making noise, coming down the street behind her. And he said, I thought, well, he'll never catch up to us. Then guess what? He caught up to him. And he said he weaved right out into the traffic and right back in front of him. And he said he turned around and he looked him up and down. And he said, I like that. I really like that. That's good. He walked off down the street mumbling, "That's good. I like that. That's real good." Robertson said he had gotten his answer. He said Muriel had helped him learn that if you're in God's place of assignment, moving in love, that's good. That's real good. So he said Muriel continued to decline as he was taking care of her over about 10 years. And he said eventually she quit talking. He said he was riding a stationary bike at the end of the bed one morning, and I think he said she woke up and he looked at her and he told her that he loved her and said, "You love me, don't you?" And he said her eyes flew, opened wider, and she smiled and said, "Love, love, love." And he said he ran over to hug her. And he said she was trying to say something else, and the last word she ever spoke to him was, "I'm nice." And he said then she quit talking after that. And he said she would she would grunt her disapproval when he cleaned her teeth or did something that he needed to do for her that she didn't really like. And he said, as she lay sleeping one morning, he looked over at her and he said that was when she was the most like her earlier days, when she was just laying there sleeping and he could just look at her. And he said he thought of how lovable she was and how much he loved her now. He said perhaps even more than he did before, even though she can't love him back in the way that she did. He said he then thought, Lord, is this how it is between you and me? You pour out your love on me day and night, caring for me, protecting me, providing for me, longing for my constant companionship, and all you get in return are a few grunts when things don't please me. Love for our God is the ultimate purpose of life. Now, Robertson McQuilkin's story was a real blessing to me, and that's why I felt like I needed to pass it on to you. What is better than God's enduring love for us? A love that will stand, abide, continue, remain, even in the face of a challenge. Nothing is better than that. I was thinking this morning about Josh and you guys. I was thinking about Phyllis a little bit. I was thinking about Grandma Nett. All the people that I know that people have had, my grandma, Sue, people who were in a bad state and they needed help and they needed love and they got it. So I just want to encourage you to express your love passionately and frequently. And to God, we do that when we praise Him. Love Him 24/7. Be a willing partner. Be an attentive companion. Rest in God's enduring love. And wherever God has you is right where you should be. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the life of Robertson and Muriel, two people I don't know, but two people whose story is powerful, and it's powerful for your good. And I believe he told his story so that his story could do exactly what it will do, and that is get through to people and point them to you. And help strengthen their marriages too. So Lord, I just thank you for your words. I thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. I ask you to help us to be more attentive to you and to not just grunt and grumble when things are going bad, but to anxiously pour out that love on you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.